Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Starship Sofa, part of the District of Wonders Network, featuring Tales to Terrify, Crime City Central, Protecting Project Pulp, and the all-new Far-Fetched Fables. Everyone has a story in the District of Wonders. Come and find yours.
This is the Starship Sofa, everybody. Welcome. Hello and welcome to show 398. I am your host, Tony C. Smith. Hello, everyone. Hope everyone is fine and dandy. We have just got one story today, but what a story it is. We've got a few bits of news and something that I'm up to. But one story by Karen Lord. It is fantastic. But before all that, don't forget, we are sponsored by Octagon Technology, who are now able to supply hosted exchange servers for solicitors and legal firms in the UK who need to use that criminal justice secure email. 1995 to 2015, Octagon Technology, helping business with their IT solutions. There you go. Big thank you to Clive and Diane. So just before we get into the main fiction there, this show always, I try my hardest to get it out every Wednesday. Now, this Wednesday, which is the 19th of August, now that Wednesday is a special Wednesday, yes. Now, I don't know how quick people kind of grab the feed once it goes out, but this show, I'll set it to 7 o'clock a.m., 7 a.m. in the morning on Wednesday. So if you're kind of listening and grabbing that as, you know, pretty much around about that time, I will be with my son Reed and our little dog Ralph, not the two Dobermans, we'll be standing at the wall's end of the Roman Wall, and we're going to walk the Roman Wall all the way to Bowness on Solway. We're doing it over 4 days, 3 nights, 4 days, which is like, 84 mile. So we've got work cut out and we're doing it camping. And like I say, I'm taking a little dog as well. So we kind of setting off at 7 a.m. So throughout that day, actually, you know what I mean? Probably into the bloody night as well, if you're kind of listening to the show, we will be doing, in it, like I say, right up until the last day we're kind of walking is, I think it's the Saturday, which is the 22nd. Hopefully sometime round about, what I'm aiming for is probably round about 6 p.m., ideally 4 p.m. 6 p.m. is to kind of get finished over there on the far side, on the west coast of England there, and have a little drink in a pub. I think it's the King's Arms, possibly, in Bowness on Solway. And from the Wall's End point of view, you're meant to actually, everyone says, oh, it's best to walk it the other way, you know, from kind of Bowness over to Wall's End, the sun's not in your eyes, the wind's at your back, and all this. But it's just too much hassle for us to get over there, do you know what I mean, crack of dawn. So we're going to start this end. And the beauty of this end is actually not really going to take us that into that kind of account, because we're going a bit too early. But there's the big Roman fort there, and you get all like into souvenirs and everything there. Now, I think over on the other side, the end of the walk, the Hadrian's Wall walk, it's just a hut, like a bus stop, with like a little stamper machine, can you stamp your little passport. So that is it. Now, what I will be doing is hopefully, you know, is putting some posts on Facebook, just, you know, and some photographs just throughout the days of our kind of travels. Like I say, most days it's like 20, 22 mile, 20 mile. So, yes, it's a bit of a challenge, but it's funny because I wanted to do this and it didn't work. I put a shout out probably about a year and a half ago, if anybody was interested in doing this Roman Wall walk with us. You know, it's been like an ambition for ages. And loads of people, you know, people from all over the world were going to fly in. And it just, if something had went wrong on my half, you know what I mean? And I thought, oh, it's too much kind of responsibility. You know, if you've got people flying in, because honestly, from China, from America, everyone was kind of, you know, oh, that would be lovely, Tony, to do the walk with you. And I just thought, oh, if it just something goes wrong, I think my shifts change or something. Do you know what I mean? And so it never got off the ground. But it still led this kind of ambition to kind of do this walk. And well, now I'm kind of thinking, well, if I can do this one, I'll do other ones. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. we'll just see how it goes. I mean, so if you want to kind of check up on us on Facebook, I'm hopefully going to put some photographs up each day. I've got some of these little, I've got two of them actually, and they're only £17, and they kind of hold about 4 or 5 chargers of a phone, you know, so you can charge your phone up like a portable charger. I've got two of them. So hopefully, you know, we can kind of still keep, hopefully get a little bit of kind of contact and send, you know, some pictures to Facebook and that, and just basically keep in touch with my wife, you know what I mean? My wife's going to walk one of the days and, you know, camp as well one of the days. And then she's going to meet her at the far end, do you know what I mean? And like I say, I'm hoping, do you know what I mean? Hoping. I'm hoping we both can do it. I'm hoping Reed can do it. I'm hoping I can do it as well. We had a practice, and we did a couple of days ago. We did a 20-mile walk, just to see if we could do it in a day. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, it was all right. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it was that bad. It was, you know, hips weren't giving out, knees weren't. I took a brufen, you know, I took a couple of painkillers just to take the edge off, but it seemed all right. So that's why I know this is not science fiction, and I'm not talking, but that's. This week, that's what I'm kind of doing. So if you want to kind of pop over to Facebook, say hello there, and I'm going to try and upload as many photographs and kind of little events as we go, you know, see how it goes. But back to the main fiction. Like I say, it's a story by Karen Lord. Heareth, a tragedy in 4 acts, by Karen Lord. It was originally published in Reach for Infinity edited by Jonathan Strand. Karen Lord, a Barbadian author and research consultant, is known for her debut novel, Redemption in Indigo, which won the 2008 Frank Collymore Literary Award, the 2010 Carl Brandon Parallax Award, the 2011 William L. Crawford Award, the 2011 Mythopoeic Fantasy Award for Adult Literature, and the 2012 Kittish Golden Golden Tentacle Best Debut, nominated for the 2011 World Fantasy Award for Best Novel. Her second novel, The Best of All Possible Worlds, was published by Del Rey. It also went on to win the 2009 Frank Collymore Literary Award, the 2013 RT Book Review's Reviewers' Choice Award for Best Science Fiction Novel, and was a finalist for the 2014 Locus Award. Its sequel, The Galaxy Game, was published in January 2015. Her short stories have appeared in Reach for Infinity, which is edited by Jonathan Strand, Solaris UK, and the up-and-coming The Bestiary, edited by Anne Vandermeer. There's links on to Karen's Twitter and her website as well. This story is narrated by Lulu Sal. Lulu Sal is a wife and a mother of two. One of them. Yes, it's Jeremy's mom. Our assistant editor, Jeremy's mom. Lulu Sal. We've actually played a couple of stories by Lulu Sal, which is just fantastic. An author of historical romance, fantasy and children's books. She also a schoolteacher specialising in English and medieval history. Her narration credits for Starship Sova include Robin Hood, Hob, Cat Rambo, Kim Stanley Robinson, and now Karen Lord. She lives in Sydney, Australia, and reads far too many books and has to run around after young Jeremy Saul, taking his dishes down from his bedroom and washing his socks. Lulu, you're a star. Thank you very much for this. So, the Starship Sova is very proud to present.
Hereth, A Tragedy in Four Acts, by Karen Lord. Read by Lulu Saul. I fell, said the cyborg, and for a moment his audience stood astounded, waiting for the larger speech, the longer explanation. None came. I fell, he said once, and spoke no further. Did you not plan? A voice interrupted the heavy silence, courageous with curiosity. Did you not mean to do this? I wandered, the cyborg said. I ambled, and things happened, and here I am. The audience murmured, baffled but not dismayed. They would find sense in this yet. With some effort, the cyborg thought to the days of his own curiosity and thirst for the new and undiscovered. He looked at the seeking expressions of his audience and tried to be helpful. I was born on the moon. That was where it began. They brightened, as if a general sigh of relief had lifted chins, puffed out chests, and raised the level of oxygen in the chamber. He smiled to see them happier and strove to continue the effect. That was how it began. I was of the first generation born on the moon, and I fell. How do you manage, how does anyone manage to fall hard enough to hurt themselves on the moon? His father nagged. His mother said nothing, but the tight press of her lips showed she was slightly nauseated. Both parents had been out on a research mission when he fell and failed to avoid certain unfortunately placed shards of plastic, and now the damage had been done in more ways than one. The doctor tried to speak reassuring words, but impatience made his voice provokingly supercilious. Yannick will recover fully. Visual implants are a very wise choice at his age. He can upgrade the components as he gets older and then settle on a permanent replacement when he's an adult. Why not let his own regenerated eyes be the permanent replacement? His father accused. The doctor shrugged. There have been complications with regeneration at lunar gravity. You were both absent, so I was left to take responsibility. I believe I made the best medical decision. Yannick's mother gazed sadly at him. He had not yet looked in a mirror, but he knew what cyborg eyes were like. Grey, alien, and cold. She was looking at him as if he had become a changeling. We could go back to Earth. They don't have any complications with regeneration, do they? The doctor took the trouble to give an emphatic blink of his mech grey eyes and pitched his tone to something softer and kinder. There are other complications on Earth, as you know. Lunar gravity might keep falling objects from smashing in a satisfying fashion, but it did not prevent the smash of objects swung sideways into a wall. Yannick's father destroyed one of the lamps on the doctor's desk and was about to reach for the second when the doctor unfroze from his paralysis of disbelieving horror and seized his arm in a gentle but implacable grip. His fury disintegrated into choked, desolated sobs. Yannick's mother was mortified. Please forgive him. It's the Hereth. It's getting worse. Of course, murmured the doctor, his sympathy now completely unfeigned. I'll administer a tranquilizer. Yannick was too young to understand what this was all meant, but in later years, when he replayed the data in the long memory of his eyes, things became much clearer. There were three stages of Hereth, each named for the location of greatest prevalence. It was no coincidence that hardship correlated with severity, but without a definite cause, guessing and superstition overtook logic and rational thought. Lunar delusion was the least severe. Colonists lasted 15 to 20 years before symptoms became noticeable. Some theorize that the visual reassurance of Earthrise and its promise of proximity delayed full onset of the syndrome. Others were more pragmatic, pointing out that the lunar colonies were the best designed in the system, with colonists who had developed a range of societal and personal adaptations to uniquely lunar hardships. Martian madness had an earlier onset, perhaps 7 years or so, but could be put off for as long as 10 years by living in the underground habitats that mimicked Earth. Yannick had the opportunity to personally observe the long melancholy and sudden manias of lunar delusion. His parents separated. His father returned to Earth, disappearing years later in the confusion of the food wars of America Minor. His mother eventually suffered from milder version of the condition, but took care not to skip her encephalic adjustments and so would survive quite peaceably, if not lucidly, to her 12th decade. Perhaps these experiences influenced him to avoid Mars as simply another version of the Moon, with the potential for some pitfalls. Or perhaps it made him reckless and determined to seize his own band of insanity before the universe could force it on him. Whatever the reason, he upgraded his eyes, enhanced his limbs with a range of organic bionics, and applied to work off the debt for all his augmentation in the rare earth division of Cyborg Assist. The universe, however, would not be denied. Minus Follet, a condition common to the asteroid belt, was harder to diagnose and more of a challenge to analyse. Should one blame mere distance or the attempt to make a home in the extreme and unplanetary environment of a floating rock? Was it the instability of the risk-taking brain that brought entrepreneurs and adventurers to the asteroid pits and mines? Were both internal and external causes at play? The minor colonies were too small, too scattered, and too poorly documented to offer any solid answers. Yannick watched, recorded, and replayed, once more looking for clarity, but initially finding none. When the miner's version of Hereth finally seized him, he spent a week oscillating between debilitating panic and euphoric destructiveness. Both states sent adrenaline rushing through his body and brain. The difference lay only in the sound of the scream, from the discontented moan to the heart-piercing shriek. His workmates strapped him down under a bubble of armoured glass, sunside on bare ground, so that he felt pressed between the weight of lens-sharpened light and the burden of alien rock. The crude exposure worked for a while, but by his second relapse, his superiors were worried enough to give him an ultimatum. Either leave the belt and go home to the uncertainties of Earth politics, to the dwindling will of population of the Moon, which was home, or submit to an experimental brain implant that would monitor and regulate his mental equilibrium. He chose the latter. When he went to the medical center for a consultation before the implant operation, he had a pleasant shock. Doctor! He could not even remember the man's name, but he felt a recognition so strong it was almost like seeing family, like encountering some rarely seen distant cousin. It was a trivial bond made more precious by the pangs of Hereth. The doctor offered no name, but merely stared at him with that intensity that Yannick had used himself when tracking the visual files in his memory. Yes, got it. The boy whose eyes I replaced when I was working on the Moon. I see you've stayed cyborg. Yes, Yannick replied bitterly, his enthusiasm checked by the doctor's coolness. Good choice, the doctor said, nodding gravely. Yannick noted with a glance of the grey eyes of old and the new additions, breastplate extending into an arm augmentation, partial skull plate with ear transplant, and goodness knew what else might be lying beneath a skin that moved and shone with slippery, non-organic ease. I have made Hereth my specialty, the doctor explained, and I have become more and more convinced that the only remedy is through the augmentation and modification of the human body. Yannick was distracted from his personal issues. How so? The doctor's certainty faltered. He waved his arm in a manner that might have been apologetic or even self-deprecating. There is so much superstition attached to the syndrome, but why not when it's such a creation of the mind? The less human we believe ourselves to be, the less we yearn towards a vision of a perfected Earth. Cyborgs have shown themselves to be the most resistant to Hereth's effects. Yannick was reminded with some shame of his own shortcomings. The doctor saw and tried to be kind. You must not be so hard on yourself. You lasted 6 years in the belt without contracting the Follet, well within the statistical range for cyborgs with your level of augmentation. But if you hope to last longer, the only solution is to expand and upgrade your cerebral implants. I've dodged the brain stuff, Yannick admitted. It's a chancy fix and I don't want to be like some of my workmates, dragging on with obsolete mech because they're too poor or too scared to get an upgrade. or there's no worry where this implant is concerned.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And it's a new approach. The template is adaptable without need for surgical intrusion. We only have to change the common insert and the implant grows or dies off as required. Sounds human. Even better than human, Yannick laughed. The doctor's face brightened. Yes, yes, you understand perfectly. So, you give your consent? A little thrill of fear fluttered in the pit of his stomach, but Yannick shivered and shook it off. Of course. The operation went smoothly. Recovery time took only a day, and within the week, Yannick was eager to return to work. Patience, the doctor advised. What you feel now is merely the excitement of a new augmentation. It will soon wear off and the Herioth will take over once more. Only later, when the implant begins to extend and self-calibrate, will you truly begin to feel the cure. Yannick obediently returned to his isolation bubble and waited for the Herioth. When it came, with all the attendant palpitations, perspirations, alarums and excursions, curiosity kept a part of his mind sufficiently free to observe as the implant started its work. It was like watching a master builder construct a high, thick wall that curved around to make an enclosure, then arched over and under to make a sphere, and within the sphere, made quiet at last, was all the yearning, screaming hollowness of Herioth. Naturally, he was incredibly happy, but not as happy as the doctor. "Isn't this amazing?" he all but sang as he pointed to Yannick, the mysterious of several medical scans arrayed on a luminous wall. "Do you see how the filaments have rooted with no rejection whatsoever?" Yannick smiled uncertainly at the images flitting past the doctor's fingers. There was only one thing he understood, and he clung to it. "Rejection?" A mere moment's pause, long enough for a fist to clench convulsively with enough force to make knuckles crack, and the doctor was answering. A side effect of earlier versions of the implant. No need to worry. Your lunar origins and your early exposure to cyborg augmentation greatly improved your tolerance for this procedure. Yannick glanced at the still clenched fist resting over the glow of the medical scans and continued to look worried. I assure you I am delighted with the results, so much so that I plan to replace my present skull implant with one identical to the model you are presently pioneering. Yannick blinked. Of course. Yes, the doctor murmured. I have been fleeing Herioth for many years now. I hope this will be the final step. The doctor moved on, travelling from asteroid to asteroid to other mining stations farther out in the belt. In time, follow-up assessments were no longer needed, and Yannick gradually lost touch. There were plenty of other things to distract him. Cyborg Assist became Cyborg Advance, and then simply CA. The Martian branch downsized in the wake of the failure of the Terraform project, pulling all human and cyborg personnel and leaving only robots and remote systems to maintain a presence on the planet. Directives from the lunar headquarters arrived with increasing sluggishness, until at last news came that the lunar colony had only been declared a failure. Scientists still lived and worked on the moon, but the days of true settlement and moon-born children were over. The CA office on Vesta took over the mining stations, thus making CA the first truly autonomous extraterrestrial corporate entity in the solar system. It was a landmark occasion. It was also the spur for a fresh surge of Herrieth. Information about Earth was scarce. Extraterrestrial colonial dreams had been severely tempered, and most of the first wave pioneers had returned to face the task of salvaging their first and now perhaps only home. No one knew whether they were succeeding, but the majority of the non-cyborg and minimally augmented humans quit CA and also fled to Earth, beaten at last by a quirk of psychology or spirit that no one fully understood. Yannick remained unaffected, a walking advertisement for brain augmentation. Yannick remained unaffected, a walking advertisement for brain augmentation. CA shrewdly upped the price for the implant, causing several of Yannick's workmates to be struck in a debt extension that was unlikely to expire before they did. Some of the lunar-born children, too young and too alien to be deterred by the first faint stirrings of Herrieth, went in the opposite direction, beyond the belt. Yannick began to hear tales about the moons of Jupiter, distant planetoids beyond Neptune, and roving space stations with solar wings sailing in the vastness between the dwarf planets of the outer reaches. He encountered a few outbound pilots during his assignment with CA Security. They always needed supplies and always had news to share, and CA policy was to be friendly as long as they were not trying to pilfer company resources. Lee was not the first augmented traveller he had met, but she was the most aggressively so. Her second-in-command and sole travelling companion was pure robot and bore all the accessories that could have made her life easier. Broad spectrum, vision, direct data access, communications, add-ons, the works. She didn't even have the smallest of brain implants, something which had become standard for all those seeking to delay or reduce her Herrieth. Yannick asked why. She looked both embarrassed and defiant. What's the point of it if there isn't a bit of Herrieth to fight against? Yannick revised his view. Not merely an adventurer to the furthest distance, but an endurance enthusiast sprinting outwards as fast as she could before Herrieth stopped her, like a diver pushing to the limit of her lungs. He touched the smooth walls of the sealed pearl of Herrieth that his brain still kept, a habit that had started out of anxiety as he looked for cracks in the protection, but was now a soothing tick, like caressing a prayer bead. "And then what?" he asked. She shrugged. "Back to Earth, perhaps," he suggested. "What is it like there?" He should not have asked. Everything in the belt was under watch. His own eyes were complicit as his on-duty data was owned by CA and could be requisitioned as needed. The crooked smile she gave him told him she knew it well. "So many stories from so many sources. Earth has fallen. Earth is recovering. Earth is in a new age, back from the brink of disaster and on the path to becoming a paradise. But then again, CA is bankrupt and obsolete. CA is the only surviving tech company. The CA cyborgs represent the last bastion of humanity in the solar system. It all depends on who you talk to, doesn't it?" "You're strange. I've never heard of a CA cyborg asking about Earth. Would you go back to Earth?" Yannick lowered his head. It disturbed him that the more augmentation addicted his workmates became, the harder it was to hold a conversation with them that did not involve work and CA. It disturbed him even more that this was now common knowledge beyond the belt. Fortunately, his communicator buzzed and gave him reason to avoid replying. He excused himself and went to the neutral ground of the entrance hatch to take the routine communication. The roster computer spoke as courteously as usual, but this time it sounded almost apologetic that the news was not good. CA-3546 Yannick, report for transfer to pit N75A within the next 172 kiloseconds. He froze. He was being sent to one of the most dangerous pits, located on a fragmenting asteroid with a hot core and subject to unpredictable seismic activity. He protested, "All cyborgs above level 5 are cleared for pit N75A," the soothing voice of the roster computer told him. "Resuscitation and rebooting case of demise will be provided free of charge." "I'm an early adopter level 7," he tried to explain. "No chance of resuscitation. When I die, I die." The roster fell silent as it carried out a search on his personal files. "Level 7 early adoption is resuscitation compliant when CA-approved command inserts are employed." "I was the first," he insisted, growing impatient. "There are no CA-approved command inserts back then. I was the prototype." Another pause. Shorter than the first, then the roster said, "Please update using this cycle CA-approved level 7 command insert and report for duty at pit N75A within 172 kiloseconds of reboot. Cost of command insert is credit at $85,000, which will be deducted from your wages over the next 0.317 gigaseconds. Exasperated, he scanned the update files attached to the final communication, but what he saw made him pause. The most recent command insert depended on the changes made via a previous insert's commands, which in turn tied to an earlier update. Yannick calculated that he would have to endure 5 cycles of updates, totaling credit at $2,976,700, which would shift his debt period from 1 decade to nearly 4. Caveat emptor, especially when buying from CA. He hopped back into Lee's control room. "Quick," he said, "can you take me with you? I can pay proper minerals, not CA currency, and I can be useful." Lee considered swiftly, but from the mischief growing in her eyes and the smile that twitched up the corner of her mouth, he could see that she had already decided. Lucky for him that he had piqued her interest, asking about Earth. "You'll have to shut down so they can't detect you." He thought about explaining again about his prototype implant and how it was distinct from the rest of CA, but time was short and he merely nodded. "Go to cargo. You'll find a life support module there. Settle in." Yannick did so, stopping just long enough to compose a time-delayed resignation note that would reach CA in approximately 0.317 gigaseconds, by which time he had hoped to be far beyond any CA branch office or outpost on the outer fringes of the belt. Then he sealed the cover and let the long sleep bury him and his pearl together. Waking up was not what he expected. There was a faint cheering in his ears. His eyes were open, but his sight was blurred. He was standing up, but leaning against a wall. His head felt too full. He had never experienced a hangover, no cyborg would, given their basic antitoxin functions, but he imagined it would feel like this, uncalibrated, out of focus, and off balance. "Congratulations!" The word was strangely pronounced and stilted, as if voiced by a bad translation program. But the emotion was genuinely cheerful. He fought his sluggish senses and tried to remember his own name. "What?" His lips moved. No sound came out. "You are the first human to overcome Harrieth long enough to sail out of the solar system that we know of, that we have been able to communicate with. Congratulations." Slowly he absorbed what was happening. He was still in the life support module, but gravity pulled at his feet, making him lean slightly against the lid. His sight was blurred because the light mist activated to raise the module's humidity was mostly spraying into his face. His head felt full because his consciousness blossomed, making him aware of the strangeness that was the inside of his skull. His implant had been busy. He felt less like Sleeping Beauty and more like the thorny, overgrown wood. And where was his pearl? The mist subsided, the air cleared. A small dip of motion outside the module caught his attention. It was a hovering sphere about the size of a human head made of some dark metal with irregular illuminated chips pitting the surface. It looked like a hallucination. "Oh," it said in disappointment, "it's only an old cyborg." It sounded like a hallucination too. "No, it's not," it argued with itself. See the readings? The implants, still an overlay, not an integrant. He was scanning his own brain even as they spoke. The implant had run wild and was now twisted past pruning and partly tangled into the mechanism of the life support module. He went deeper, hoping, yearning. There was the Heraeth, kept safely alive and buzzing behind thinning walls. Meanwhile, the sphere was speaking excitedly in a language he could not understand. He waited patiently for it to notice him again. "We're not sure that you're human," it said at last. "But whatever you are, you're more than just a cyborg, and everyone should know about this." "The pilot, she's human," he guessed, but he needed confirmation. "You are the only one alive on this ship," the sphere said sadly. He wondered what could have happened to Lee, that she had not even tried to wake him. Perhaps the ship's record had some information. He tried to access the central data system, but was distracted by a strange noise. The sphere was giggling. "This is so exciting!" In the blink of an eye, his view of the cargo area changed. A small group of spheres crowded there, spilling light which coalesced into various images, a patchwork that stitched together into an audience of human figures represented by half-size holograms. None were cyborg as far as he could see, but some had robot familiars perched on shoulders or wrists. All faces were turned avidly to him. The central data system came online with a sudden burst of output, flooding his already taxed brain with names and titles and dates and places. He bit his lip against rising nausea to try to organize the deluge, but only ended up feeling as groggy and uncoordinated as when he first woke. Have a little respect. Two children, slender as lunar-born and dark as earth-raised, stood beneath the original sphere and chided their elders. Remember, he's human and needs time to adjust. The intrusion stopped suddenly and was replaced by gentle probing. No, someone countered. He is a cyborg, but a very odd one. He still holds Heraeth within. Murmurs of interest and disbelief. Impossible. Augmentation is a dead end for humanity. But imagine a human cyborg with Heraeth. He could test further and faster than any of us and always have a beacon to navigate home. Hush, a voice said reverently. He's crying. Of course he was crying. The stress of waking, the burden of information, the shock of communicating with others after so long, it all came together in an incredible pressure that pushed at the thinnest part of the wall, cracked the containment and let Heraeth leak through. His implant was overloading and his other augmentations were slowly beginning to malfunction. He did not have much time. The babble quieted and a sole voice took over. Our apologies. We have so many questions, but perhaps we should let you speak. Tell us, how did you come to be such a unique cyborg? My name is Yannick. I once had eyes that truly cried, not these imitations. I once feared Heraeth, then I grew to love it, and now it will kill me. He began as best he could. I fell.
There you go, don't forget, copyright is Karen's. Karen, thank you so much for that. Massive. And Lulu, what can I say? Big hugs, thank you so much. Tell him to tidy his bedroom. It's a state when I look at it on Skype. It's absolutely shocking, to be quite honest. He wants to sort himself out, man. Get a job. So that is today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Like I say, we are kind of, a couple of days' time in the grip. So actually, when you listen to this, I'm walking the Roman wall with Reed, my son, and the little there's no way on God's green earth I could take the two Dobermans. Actually, the big one's now 10. Do you know, so it paggers after a couple of miles. But Ralph, the little working Cocker Spaniel, he can go forever. Do you know what I mean? So have a look on Facebook. You can see some pictures we upload there if you want to kind of join us on this journey. Until next week, just like to say, good night from me.
Survive this terrible ordeal? Can they win through with their integrity unscathed? Can they escape without completely compromising their honor and artistic judgment? Tune in next week for the next exciting installment of Starship Sofa.
Evacuation procedure initiated. Shuttle set for launch. Airlock will be opened in 3, 2, 1.
This presentation has been brought to you by the District of Wonders Network, dedicated to podcasting the finest genre fiction. You can learn.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
More about the District of Wonders and their many literary productions at their website, www.districtofwonders.com. Thank you for listening.